Fam comes from Bloomsterhus, filled with plants and supplies for the spring, like trees, shrubs, and potting soil. Open on Main Street, 10 to 5, Monday through Saturday, and at 907-772-2566. Support for this program comes from Bloomsterhus, hosting work from over 40 local artists, locally grown flowers, and Scandinavian-inspired gifts. Bloomsterhus, on Main Street, Facebook, and at 907-772-2566.
Ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you a ripe one, don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a big homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Well, you can go out to eat, and that's for sure, but it's nothing a homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them in a salad, put them in a stew. You can make your very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs. You can eat them with gravy. Eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on a side. Put them in the middle. Put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle.
Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'll life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
Life I lead. Well, I'd be Johnny Tomato Seed, 'cause I know what this country needs. It's homegrown tomatoes in every yard you see. When I die, don't bury me in a box in a cemetery. Out in the garden be much better, and I could be pushing up homegrown tomatoes.
Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to In the Garden. I'm your host, Daniel Rowan Tucker. We've had some beautiful fall days lately, and there's something about this season that just feels magical to me. The crisp air, the changing colors of the foliage, and the lower angle of the sunlight all bring a subtle change to this place. A great landscape designer once remarked that he was drawn to northern latitudes because he loved the way that low-angled light brings out the forms of the land in dramatic contrast, unlike the brighter, more washed-out overhead light of the tropics. And, of course, the subtle hues of autumn foliage also add to the seasonal drama of our northern landscapes. Those autumn tints bring me to our subject for today, maple trees. Folks, I've been looking forward to bringing out this subject since I started doing the show, and I intentionally saved it for the fall because that's when our maples are at their finest. There are many species and selections of maple trees, and I'll go over many of them here. But first, an introduction to the family as a whole. Maples all belong to the genus Acer, in the family Sapindaceae, which makes them cousins to the horse chestnuts, as well as to a tropical fruit known as lychee. Maples are easily identified by their opposite buds and palmate leaves, and the winged fruits that spin like tiny helicopters when they fall to the ground. Maples are found across the Northern Hemisphere in temperate regions from Scotland to Japan and from Florida to Alaska, generally preferring cool and moist woodland habitats. Right here in Southeast, we're at the northern end of the Douglas Maples natural range, a graceful small tree or large shrub occasionally found on rocky outcrops and beaches with good southern exposure. Some species of maple are prized by woodworkers for their beautiful wood, which may be quite hard in the case of sugar maple, or softer, as in bigleaf maple, but usually with a pale blonde to beige color and attractive flecks in the grain. Sugar maple is the source of most maple syrup, although recently Oregon State University has conducted extensive trials on using the bigleaf maple native to the Pacific Northwest, with some promising results. When I had a landscaping business on San Juan Island in Washington, I found myself steering folks away from planting maples because, in the Pacific Northwest, they are probably overused as street trees, and their general lack of drought tolerance can be a liability there. Up here, however, where real drought is not an issue and cool temperatures prevail, maples are a valuable resource for brightening up our landscapes with their fall displays. We should plant more maple trees. First off, the Norway maple, Acer platanoides. This is probably the most common type of maple around town. I wonder if the fact that it's called the Norway maple has something to do with its popularity here. It's actually not that common in the wild in Norway. That's kind of on the edge of its native range. It's more common across other parts of the European continent, but it is a very adaptable tree, generally medium-sized, round-headed. There are many different cultivars out there. A lot of them have purple leaves. Most of them have yellow to orange to sometimes crimson fall color. It's a tough tree, puts up well with urban conditions. It doesn't grow quite as big or as fast as some of our other maple trees like bigleaf maple and silver maple. So for that reason, it's a little bit more favored as a street tree. And I believe some of the cultivars have been chosen for being slightly more compact in size, which is something that, you know, urban planners and landscape designers tend to prefer for their more urban landscapes because of things like sidewalks and overhead power lines and all that. So the Norway maple generally fits the bill for all those things, and as such, it's a very popular tree. There's quite a few of them around town. It's a good solid tree, but I would say for those interested in planting more maples, I would recommend looking a little farther afield into some of the less common species that I think we have room for. Juno is pretty plastered with Norway maples, and they do tend to naturalize. They come up on their own. I've noticed that a little bit here in Petersburg, in a few yards in neighborhoods. There's a few naturalized Norway maple seedlings kind of popping up here and there. Not super widespread. I wouldn't be concerned about it taking over your yard here. And the deer and the moose are going to feast on that maple foliage whenever they can find it. But at any rate, the Norway maple is a solid tree. There's already quite a few of them around. So let's move on to some other selections. The Japanese maple, another fairly common landscape tree. Acer palmatum is the scientific name. And there are literally thousands of cultivars of Japanese maple out there. There are entire books just devoted to the many, many selected varieties of Japanese maple. It's been prized in Japan for a very long time as a choice ornamental. And there are Japanese maple varieties in every shape and color you could imagine. When it comes to the leaves, there are, you know, tiny dwarfs and larger ones. The tree itself tends to be pretty shrubby, kind of large shrub to small tree in general. Some of the cultivars are super dwarfed, so like smaller shrub. And on the whole, they tend to have really great fall color, kind of a blood red, crimson, bright crimson color, very striking. And the leaf shape, you know, there's lacy, dissected leaves, pretty much any kind of leaf shape you could imagine. And with a little careful pruning and treatment, you know, they can make a really sculptural, kind of picturesque small tree with crooked, snaky branches. So sort of the just the thing you would want for the centerpiece of a slightly shaded woodland garden with little paths winding around it and beds of bulbs and perennials, and really a choice ornamental, but due to its sort of spreading habit, not quite as ideal for something that's going to be out by a street or somewhere with lots of foot traffic. It needs kind of a sheltered, favorable setting. The vine maple, Acer circinatum, this is native to the Northwest, does great here. Similar growth habit to the Japanese maple, tends to be a big sprawling shrub, probably even more shrubby than the Japanese maple. It really likes to have kind of multiple stems that sprawl out in different directions. Really great fall color, fiery orange to crimson, in full sunlight, especially. And, in its native habitat, it often grows in the understory of the forest. And so in the shade, the fall colors are a little bit more muted, more kind of yellowish, whereas in the sunlight, they pick up these brighter crimson tints, that are really striking. If you've ever driven over Highway 20 through the North Cascades in the fall, in northern Washington, there's some really beautiful, vine maples decorating the rock outcrops, up in the mountains there. And, I think it's a great choice for here because, being a Northwest native, it's pretty well adapted to our cool, rainy climate. Still needs good drainage in the soil. It's not going to tolerate muskeg. You know, most maple trees are not super tolerant of waterlogging. They need good drainage. But other than that, they're generally a good fit around here. The Douglas maple, Acer glabrum, this is our only really native maple, so far as I know, here in Southeast Alaska. And some people call these vine maples. They are kind of similar in habit to a vine maple, but they're slightly different. They're actually a species that grows across the Rocky Mountains as well. I believe it's either related or a subspecies of the Rocky Mountain maple. And it's also pretty shrubby, multi-stemmed, can have good fall color sometimes, and those bright green leaves in the spring. A hunting guide from Hoonah told me that, you know, you can pick out the Douglas maple here most easily in the early spring when it's just leafing out, because you'll see these splashes of bright green where it grows, usually rocky outcrops up on kind of sunny south-facing situations a little ways up the slopes. I believe I've seen a Douglas maple down at the south end of Mitkoff, on that kind of south-facing slope looking across Sumner Strait. Haven't seen any right here around Petersburg, so it's a little more rare, but keep your eyes peeled. It's a beautiful small tree. Would make a great addition to someone's garden, kind of similar to a Japanese maple or a vine maple, where you want something not too big, but with beautiful sculptural branches that spread out in different directions, like something next to your patio or in the middle of a woodland garden. The big leaf maple, Acer macrophyllum. This is a favorite of mine. I grew up in Oregon and, spent many hours as a boy, swinging on a rope swing under the boughs of a huge spreading big leaf maple in my best friend's backyard. And, many other, people from the Northwest can probably relate. Many people have had big leaf maple trees feature prominently in their childhood. They're sort of the perfect tree for kids to play on. Big, fast growing, often wide spreading limbs that lend themselves well to swings and tree forts and all kinds of fun stuff like that. The big leaf maple is less common in our landscapes than it could be. It grows really well here. There's a couple of them around Petersburg that I've seen and out the road, and they all seem to be doing just great. They grow a bit faster than the Norway maple. They get a bit bigger, and this is part of the reason why they're not so common, because in the landscape trade, they've fallen out of favor, given that they're a little too big and rowdy for the ideal street tree. One of my favorite books here, Trees of Seattle by Arthur Lee Jacobson, says, during the turn of the century, the big leaf maple was our most widely planted street tree, but due to the ruinous effects of root heaving on adjacent sidewalks, its use as a street tree is now illegal by city ordinance. So that kind of gives you a hint. When cities like Seattle start making big leaf maple illegal as a street tree, it's going to become a lot less common in the general nursery trade, although it is still widely grown by native plant nurseries for restoration projects and that kind of thing. So I recommend seeking out big leaf maple if you're looking for a big, handsome tree for your home landscape here. It's a tree that I think we could definitely use more of. It has nice fall color, kind of golden yellow at its best, not the super bright crimson tints of some other maples, but it makes up for that with its vigor and ultimately quite large size. If I was going to pick one maple tree to recommend for Southeast Alaska, I would say the big leaf maple would be it. So definitely seek them out. I've got a few in my nursery at Point Agassiz, but I need to get a lot more seed and propagate more of those because it's a good tree for here. The sycamore maple, Acer pseudoplatanus. I always get that scientific name mixed up with the Norway maple, Acer platanoides, Acer pseudoplatanus is the sycamore maple. This is another European tree. It's pretty vigorous, can be kind of weedy. I saw one down in Wrangell, actually a pair of them, down in Wrangell, next to like a little clinic or business of some kind, and they had a whole bunch of seedlings popping up underneath them. But handsome, round-headed tree. The leaves, you know, they look like maple leaves, but they have all these little kind of cuts around the edges that make it seem almost more like a grape leaf or something. Very decorative, but the fall color isn't quite as hot as some other maples. It's more of like a dull yellow to brown. So not as special for the fall color. There is a variety called the wine leaf maple, or Atropurpureum, that has, you know, normal dark green leaves on top, but then the underside of the leaf is covered with this really rich, purplish crimson, velvety covering, or indumentum, for those, who love botanical terms. And it just has a very kind of elegant, kind of a royal appearance with this velvety purple covering on the undersides of the leaves. And there's one of those up at the end of Tango Street in the Severson neighborhood that I've noticed a really nice specimen there. So, yeah, keep your eyes peeled for the sycamore maple. Solid choice around here. Would grow pretty well, I believe, if more widely planted. The red maple, Acer rubrum. We've got a couple of these around town, and this is another one that, you know, in the lower 48, anytime you drive past like a strip mall or any kind of suburban location in Western Washington or many other places, you know, there's a good chance that you're going to see hundreds, if not thousands, of red maples. They've become a super popular kind of all-purpose suburban street tree because they're very hardy, they're tolerant of waterlogging, to some extent, and also drought to some extent, and they even tolerate salt from roads, which is a big issue with trees that are planted along major roadways where there's a lot of salting used in the wintertime. So the red maple has become this kind of standard issue all-purpose tree down south. I wouldn't recommend anyone down there to plant it because it's been so overused. But up here where we're pretty starved for deciduous trees, I still think it's a pretty good choice. And also given its tolerance of waterlogging, that's a big plus around here with our wet soils. And I've seen a couple. There's a red maple in somebody's yard along South Nordic, just before you reach the South Harbor parking lot as you're going out the road. And that tree has some of the most impressive fall color of any tree in town that I've seen. It's this like luminous pink to crimson, and the undersides of the leaves have this kind of whitish, ghostly, appearance, and it's just stunning. When it's in its full effect. And it makes a nice, graceful looking upright tree. Not humongous, but definitely, you know, a good medium sized tree. So yeah, keep your eyes peeled for red maple. It's a good one that has a lot of potential, for our climate. Freeman maple, is a hybrid of red maple and silver maple. Which is another species from back east, like the red maple. They're both from the east, New England and south of there. The Freeman maple has a lot of the best traits of the red maple. But also the leaves are a little bit larger, more like a silver maple, and very handsome tree. There's one in somebody's yard on the corner of 8th and Excel up there at the top of the hill, below the ball fields, and I've noticed really nice fall color on that one. The Shantung maple, this is a little bit less common. I believe there's one by the elementary school. The leaves, the lobes of the leaves come to points, looks kind of like a sweet gum leaf. For those of you who are familiar with sweet gum, that's more of a tree that you would see down south. But yeah, I believe there's one or two Shantung maples over by the school, by the auditorium on that slope out there. And I think they have some pretty handsome yellow fall color. Sugar maple, that's one that I don't see very much here. I'm not sure if it would do as well. Well, that's a good question. You know, it is very shade tolerant, which would tell me that, you know, it's pretty tolerant of cool conditions. Which is the main limiting factor up here. One of the main limiting factors for growing deciduous trees are kind of cool summer growing conditions. That's a real hindrance to a lot of the heat lovers from down south. But sugar maple, I'm not sure. I would have to see it, in some different situations. I've only seen one at someone's property out at Papke's Landing, and it wasn't doing super hot. So it's hard to say. Might be kind of experimental here. Although sugar maple is a real icon of New England, as anyone who's been there would know. The paper bark maple, Acer grisium, this is kind of an unusual one. The leaves don't really look like maple leaves. They have these little three-lobed leaves, almost look like a bean or something. But it does have some nice fall color, and the bark is the real attraction with the paper bark maple. It has this coppery, paper thin bark that peels off in curly sheets, and really distinctive looking. There's a couple of those around town. Tends to be quite slow growing, and so if you have the patience, and you know, you have a good spot where it can be kind of a showpiece, but don't expect it to make like a great big shade tree. It's more of a sort of a petite garden specimen, and I think it probably does need a pretty good amount of sunlight. You know, it's from somewhere in China, so I think it probably likes as much warmth here as it can get. But I have seen a couple of nice ones around town. And if that coppery bark is what floats your boat, then seek it out. The Amur maple, got to throw that in there. It's more obscure, shrubby little creature with leaves that look kind of like pointy little ivy leaves. There's one right up near the Lutheran church at the top of Excel by somebody's driveway. Sort of shrubby like a vine maple, but has these funny looking leaves. Fall color, I think it's kind of red in the fall. Would have to take a closer look at that. Anyways, just wanted to leave you with a really great quote from Henry David Thoreau on the maple tree and the gifts that it brought to a small New England town where he lived. "Little did the fathers of the town anticipate this brilliant success when they caused to be imported from further in the country some straight poles with the tops cut off, which they called sugar maple trees, and a neighboring merchant's clerk, as I remember, by way of jest, planted beans about them. Yet these, which were then jestingly called bean poles, are these days by far the most beautiful objects noticeable in our streets. They are worth all and more they have cost, though one of the selectmen did take the cold which occasioned his death in setting them out, if only because they have filled the open eyes of children with their rich color so unstintingly so many autumns. We will not ask them to yield us sugar in the spring while they yield us so fair a prospect in the autumn. Wealth may be the inheritance of few in the houses, but it is equally distributed on the common. All children alike can revel in this golden harvest. These trees throughout the street are at least equal to an annual festival and holiday. And poor indeed must be that New England village's October, which has not the maple in its streets. This October festival costs no powder nor ringing of bells, but every tree is a liberty pole on which 1,000 bright flags are run up." Thank you, Mr. Thoreau. Thanks for joining me on this excursion among the maples. Until next time, enjoy the crisp autumn air and keep your eyes peeled for bright colors among the falling leaves.